This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi khaliq al-wujud min al-adam, wa ja'il al-nur min al-thulam, fa mukhrij al-sabr min al-alam, wa mulqi al-tawbati ala al-nadam. Fa nashkuruhu ala al-masa'ib kama nashkuruhu ala al-ni'am, wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-akram, al-sharaf al-asham wa al-nur al-atam. والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل يكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين إذ قالوا ليوسف وأخوه أحب إلى أبينا منا ونحن عصبة إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. Today's khutbah inshallah is about maybe 1 to 3 ayat of Surah Yusuf. I announced previously that inshallah my intention in the month of Ramadan is to do short reminders from Surah Yusuf, reflections on Surah Yusuf from the beginning and go as far as we possibly can. But in getting there, I also wanted to introduce not only myself but my audience also to some very important lessons and the kinds of unique lessons that Allah has captured inside Surah Yusuf that are not found anywhere else in the Quran. So it stands in a unique place, this surah, for many reasons. There is no other surah that's dedicated to a story, one singular story, the way that this surah is. So that already puts it in a unique place. But there are additional features of this surah that are very interesting, very different. For example, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتُ لِلسَّائِلِينَ That certainly in Yusuf and his brothers, there have been many miraculous signs and lessons for those who ask questions. Now, it seems like a straightforward ayah, but Allah didn't just say, you have a lot to learn, or I have a lot to learn from Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah also said, we have a lot to learn from his brothers. So that's an important thing. Usually we think of, we have lessons to learn from those that we look up to, or those that do good, or those that are, you know, role models in behavior, and in their faith and their good deeds, and that's obviously the case. But Allah says, actually, when people fail also, when people mess up also, you have a lot to learn from that too. Right? So He didn't just say that you have a lot to learn from Yusuf, and there are many ayat in Yusuf, but He also said there are many ayat in his brothers. But then He didn't just say there are lessons to learn and revelations and miracles and things that we will benefit from for believers. He said, لِسَّائِلِين, for those, and I translated that, for those who ask questions. But the word sa'il means two things. One, it means someone who asks a question, meaning if you're curious and you want to know, you'll learn a lot. That's a sa'il. But the word sa'il in Arabic and also in the Quran is used for someone who is in need. So when someone is a sa'il, you know, لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, the Quran says, the one who asks is actually someone in need. Or Allah says about him, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. In Surah Al-Rahman he says, and a bad translation, not a great translation, is everyone in the sky and the earth is asking him. Everyone in the sky and the earth asks him. But we know a disbeliever doesn't ask Allah. The shayateen don't ask Allah, but they still need Allah, don't they? Right? So the word sa'ala can actually mean haja. It can mean someone who is constantly in need. Even a disbeliever's heart is in need of taking the next beat. And it turns to Allah for that need so it can beat again. You know, even the tongue that disbelieves in Allah and disrespects His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs the ability to be able to move and gets that permission from Allah. It needs Allah still. Even the one that disobeys Allah. So here, coming back to this ayah, Allah says that in Yusuf and his brothers, there are many ayat, many lessons, many miracles, many wisdoms that are for those who are in need. So, and that means that this ayah is about all of us, because all of us are always going to be in need. Like, it's not just a story about, you know, a person or a prophet and his brothers or his father and an incredible adventure and, you know, tragedy and in the faith that he showed through that tragedy. But actually, this is not just about them. It's for any people who are going to have different kinds of needs. And so that's what I'm going to try to highlight today, is one such ayah, the opening of this story. How Allah Azza wa Jal opens the story, and after saying لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ, he actually talked about the brothers first, which is interesting. You know, you would think it's the story of Yusuf. Yusuf spoke to his dad, that's in the beginning of the surah, but after he says, you have a lot to learn from Yusuf, and you have a lot to learn from his brothers, now he's going to say something about his brothers. And this is what I wanted to dedicate today's khutbah to, is what Allah says about his brothers. He says, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. They said, you know, when they said, Yusuf and his brother are definitely more dearer to our father, they are definitely more lovable to our dad, meaning our dad loves them more than he does us. So that's, let's stop there for a second. Dad loves those two more than he loves us. Our father loves them more than he loves us. Yusuf and his brother. This is referring to Binyamin, who has not been mentioned by name in the Quran. So we're already learning there's something about love that we're going to learn in this surah. What is it about love that we're going to learn? There's a confusion sometimes that happens between what is actually love and what is possession. When you want to control someone and control how they feel, or you want them to feel what you want them to feel, that's no longer love. That's a kind of control. And Yusuf's brothers, they have this feeling that dad shows affection to Yusuf. He's kind to him. He's proud of him. He talks to him all the time. He doesn't give me that kind of attention. He doesn't talk to me that way. What is that? I don't feel special. Now, let's take a step back. Who are they talking about? Who's the father? It's Yaqub alayhi salam. And Yaqub alayhi salam is an important figure in the Quran, because when fatherhood is talked about, parenthood is talked about, Yaqub alayhi salam somehow comes up. So Yaqub alayhi salam is actually kind of a role model parent in the Quran. And it's also important because he's a parent of difficult children, isn't he? So if you're going to need an example for a parent, then not all parents. Some parents are blessed with easier children. Some parents are blessed with or tried with difficult children. And they need an example of someone who had to manage the entire spectrum. So he's given as an example. Even until his deathbed, the last thing he did was speak to his children. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Were you there when death came to Yaqub, when he told his asked his children, what are you going to worship after I'm gone? Like, till his death, he's concerned with who? His children. So what I'm trying to get at is, you have to get the thought out of your head that somehow Yaqub is an unfair father. That he loves a couple of kids more and he loves some other kids less. That idea has to go away. Because then you and I are starting to think that Yaqub alayhi salam is not a fair human being. First of all, he's a prophet, they're above that anyway. Then on top of that, you can see from the way Allah talks about him in the Quran that he would never do such a thing. He would never have such a... And by the way, if you study the surah carefully, that becomes clear too. In the beginning, he was concerned for the safety of Yusuf, yes? Later on in the story, his sons come to him. The ones that, you know, supposedly he doesn't love as much. They come to him. And he's concerned for their safety. And he's telling them, be careful when you go back in the city. So you actually find a pretty balanced picture of Yaqub alayhi salam in the surah. So to assume that he wasn't a fair father, or he loved some and loved others less, that's not an okay thing to assume. But I will help you and myself understand
some things about this relationship. Why are they even saying this then? Why are his sons even saying, Dad loves them more than he loves us? I'll give you an example. I have a couple of sons. One of them comes back with a 30 on his math test. And another one comes back with a 95 on his math test. Yeah? And the one that comes back with a 95 on his math test, like, come here, give me a hug. I'm so proud of you. Good job. Here, have the rest of my chocolate. And I'm proud of him. I'm happy with him. And the one that got a 30, young man, didn't I tell you to do your homework last weekend? Didn't I tell you to review? I was going to go sit and go over the test with you and prepare you for the test. And you just wanted to play your video games. I don't think that's okay. I need you to go back to your room and think about what just happened here. And I'm going to have a chat with your teacher. They're both my kids. I love them both. But my reaction to one is different from the other. And by the way, the kid who got a 30 and he got a little bit of a scolding from me and some discipline, as he's walking away, he says, he's looking at the other brother who got a hug. He's like, I'm going to burn your bed when you're sleeping. Like, he's so upset because Dad loves you more. I don't even know why he loves you more. But he's not going to see that he's doing something wrong or he messed up, because sometimes a parent needs to give tough love. Sometimes a parent needs to give encouragement and motivation and acknowledgement. If you accomplish something good, it should be acknowledged. If you messed up, you need a little bit of discipline. That's actually a part of love. If you only got hugs and praise and positive reinforcement, no matter what you did, you would be spoiled rotten. That would actually not be an act of love. That would be an act of destruction. That would be destructive for a parent to do. To let a child do whatever they want and to behave however they want. I still love you anyway. It's okay. No, there's sometimes tough love is needed too. And there's a balance in that picture that we learned in the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. But here's where the problem starts. His sons, they felt like they're not being appreciated. They felt in their heart that Dad does love Yusuf more, does love Benjamin more, and we don't get that same kind of look on his face when he talks to us. His tone changes. He doesn't go out of his way to sit with us and talk to us. Why is that? Why does he love these? And they're so little, they can't even do anything. They're just kids. We're the ones that are running the household, and so they say, وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَى. We're the ones that are a strong band, meaning we do all the labor, we protect this house, nobody messes with our family because we're here. And we're the strength of this family. We're the ones supporting it. He's an old man by himself. And yet, we don't get the love and the respect and the appreciation. What is that? Here's the problem. Here's where the problem starts. If any one of them felt this way, because you can't say all nine of them had the feeling exactly at the same time. That, or, you know, 10 of them had the feeling exactly at the same time. You can't imagine that. One of them felt this way. Two of them felt this way. But even if they felt this way, they don't know that each other feels this way, right? You can't telepathically feel. You have to discuss it. If you feel that Dad's not being fair, if you feel that Dad doesn't love enough, if you feel that Dad's upset, I don't know why. If you feel that Dad was giving preferential treatment to one son over the other, then the thing that you should have done is go talk to Dad. Go sit and talk to him. Dad, I feel like getting a little shorter end of the stick. I feel this in my heart. And the dad would have given him a hug and say, no son, that's not the case. I love you. But the thing is, you messed up here. You did this, you did this, you stole, you did this, etc., etc., etc. And that's why I was upset with you. I don't want you to go down that path. And I'm with you. And this is, so they would have worked it out. They would have worked it out. But what happens is Shaitan wants to come between people. And when you feel something negative towards someone you love, now this is not just about siblings and parents, any close relationship, when you feel something negative towards someone you love, then one of the things Shaitan wants you to do is not address it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it with the person who you feel it towards. Talk about it with other people. You know what Dad made me feel today? I felt like so useless. And he's like, me too. And the other two start talking, and three start talking, and four start talking. And before you know it, all 10 are talking. All 11 are talking. I'll give you an example from my experience that's not about family. It's about, you know, social relationships. One time when I was teaching Arabic, one time one of my students felt like I was going too fast. in the class lecture, I was going too fast. Now, the thing with me as a teacher is, if you tell me to repeat something, I'll repeat it. If you tell me to stay after class and teach it to you, I'll stay after class and teach it to you. If you want me to stay overnight and keep teaching it to you until you get it, I'll stay and teach it to you until you get it. If you want me to start the whole lecture all over again, no problem, I'll start it all over again. My job is to teach you, and teach you, and if you keep saying, I don't get it, I'll come up with a third way, a fourth way, a fifth way, because I need you to get it. That's my job. But I can't know that telepathically. You have to actually what? Tell me. You have to tell me, hey, Ustad, that was a little fast for me, so can you slow down, or could you repeat that concept, please? Or you could just tell me, right? But what happens? This one student goes in the break and says, Ustad's going too fast. And says it to what? Three other students. And those three students say, one of them says, I guess it was a little fast. But I was okay. No, I wasn't okay. Another student said, I wasn't okay. It is fast. Okay, if the three of you feel this way, let's go talk to a fourth, fifth, and sixth. The three of us feel like Ustad goes too fast. What do you think? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. If you guys feel this way, I'm with you. Don't you think we should say something? How many people actually felt this way? One or two? But instead of addressing it, what do? You go around. And now even if I'm teaching super slow, they've already programmed their head. He's going to go so fast right now, I just know it. He's going to go so fast right now. And then somebody comes up to me and says, everybody feels like you're going too fast. Everybody, really? Everybody feels like that. You guys talk about your feelings later? How about you tell me first? Right? So what happens is in an office, in a family, in a classroom, sometimes one problem, when not discussed with the right people, it could be a little snowflake, but eventually turns into a snowball, eventually turns into an avalanche. It becomes huge. And it was something very small. These young men had the opportunity to talk openly with their dad. They didn't. They talked to who? Each other. And when they talked to each other, now, even if you talk to each other, you could say, well, you know, dad was right for being upset. We did kind of steal a goat, or I'm making that up. We did kind of mess up. So, I mean, what did you expect? But no, they're going to say all the good things about themselves. Why doesn't he see all the good things that we do? Why does he only see the bad stuff that we do? And now they're starting to paint a picture of their father in their mind that is not based on reality, that's based on their feelings. So you, instead of actually talking to someone and understanding where they're coming from, you assume you already know everything there is to know about someone else. For example, in this ayah, when they said, dad loves them more, they are more beloved to dad than us. Aren't they talking about the heart of their father? Aren't they? And if they're talking about the heart of their father, who are you and I or anybody else to know what goes on inside somebody's heart? But when you create this kind of conversation about someone, then it starts assuming that you know them from the inside out. You can speak on behalf of their feelings too, their thoughts too. You know everything there is to know. You become an all-knowing judge of them, and then you create your narrative. You create an alternative story. You know, we have such a problem in the political world when people have alternative facts, right? Alternative news, you know, fake news. We create fake realities about people in our minds. They created a fake reality about a prophet who lived among them, their father. That he loves our dad more, loves our brothers more than he loves us. Well, we're the ones that are bad. And then they went so far. He's a prophet. I want you to remember that. He's a prophet. And he's been teaching all of his children that he inherited this legacy, like he told Yusuf alayhi salam, from Ibrahim alayhi salam, to Ishaq alayhi salam, to Yaqub alayhi salam, you are grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Abraham, of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he's teaching this legacy to them. And what did they say about their father, who is a prophet? They say about him, Inna abana lafi dalalim mubin. Our dad is obviously lost, clearly lost in misguidance. Wow. You're telling yourselves that you have it right, and your father is in misguidance. Who you know to be a prophet. That's how delusional your feelings can make you when you don't address them in a healthy way. That's how far they can take you. It's the example of water, which is pure, but if it's left standing, it festers, it gets infested, it turns into poison. Water, which is supposed to be a source of life, can turn into a source of death, disease, filth. It can turn into filth. And that's exactly what happens to emotions that are not properly addressed. Now it could be, it could very well be, that the person you're dealing with is not like Yaqub alayhi salam. It could be that the person you're dealing with, when you tell them how you truly feel, they're the ones that are actually in some kind of misguidance and turn abusive towards you. That's possible too. Not everybody's got a Yaqub to deal with. So the problem sometimes is about on the end of someone who feels something and doesn't say it. Right? That's one kind of problem. But also maybe they learned not to say it because every time they try to say it, they get abused. So they were silenced because they didn't get a supportive or a loving response. But that's not the case here. Now in those kinds of cases, that's the opposite scenario, and that's actually the story of Musa and Fir'aun, where he had to stand up to someone who's abusive in the family. That's a different story altogether. Allah teaches us one scenario in one story, another scenario in another story. So you can look at each case study carefully and understand how to deal with each of those scenarios. But we're dealing with one of these scenarios right now. And that scenario is when you don't address your feelings, they can fester. And you can create a picture of someone, even you live with them, and you have misconceptions about them. And not only misconceptions, you have conviction. You're absolutely convinced, this is how they are. I know them inside out. And your thoughts are just getting fortified and more fortified and more fortified to the point where now look at what they did. These two are more beloved to him. They don't even deserve that kind of love because we're the ones supporting the family. You know, dad's just confused. Because dalal also means confusion. Dad's obviously confused. We need to help him out here because he can't help himself. How are we going to help him? Well, we have to get rid of his confused emotions. We can't do that until the problem is there. What's the problem? Yusuf. That's the real problem. Now, it's interesting, right? Yusuf and his brother are more beloved, but they don't want to kill Yusuf and his brother. They just want to kill who? Just Yusuf. They don't want to kill his brother. Now, brother, probably we can address that. That's not a... Maybe let's start small. If the problem continues, we'll go after the brother too. They get so far that they're willing to say, kill Yusuf. Or throw him somewhere. Just leave him in some far off valley, land, some unknown, uncharted place. Take him out on the boonies and the highway and just leave him on the side of the street and run. Let's just do that. This is the conversation brothers are having about their own brother. Why is the Quran mentioning this? Allah is telling us this kind of crazy can happen even inside families. And it can even happen when you come from a really good family. Because you're not going to get a better family than your dad is Yaqub alayhi salam, and your granddad is Ishaq alayhi salam, and your great granddad is Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's a pretty good family. That's a pretty noble family tree. And they're pretty messed up, the conversations they're having, aren't they? This is a sick conversation. And there's not even kuffar who worship idols or who, you know, throw babies at the altars and sacrifice them. I call it crazy stuff. These are Muslims. They're raised Muslims. They're raised Muslims by a prophet. That's how they're raised. And yet they can get to this point. What this also teaches us, there are many lessons here, but one last one, for quick reference, is sometimes parents can do everything they can, but when children, or sons and daughters, don't, or it's not just parents, you in a relationship can do everything you can, but when someone else has an emotional disorder, and they don't want to address that, then you can't help them. You could even be Yaqub alayhi salam, and you can't help them. All you can do is have sabr. Because sometimes people don't want to help themselves. They can't be helped. He's a prophet and he couldn't turn their tide. He couldn't turn them in a different direction. You know? And the crazy they had in their head, what did they say? يَخْلُوا لَكُمْ وَجْهُوا أَبِيكُمْ I'll end the khutbah, I won't even end the ayah. يَخْلُوا لَكُمْ وَجْهُوا أَبِيكُمْ They said, throw him somewhere far away and your father's face will only turn towards you. Meaning, this is how psychotic this really is. Let me put it in different words for you. Dad's got so much love, but he's confused. He keeps giving it to Yusuf and his brother. Once we get rid of Yusuf, he's going to be like, I got all this love left over. What should I do with it? Oh, you guys are still here. Ah, let me love you now. This is what you have in your head. You know why they think this way? Because they think that their actions can control somebody else's emotions. Why don't you feel this way toward the way I want you to feel? I want you to feel the way I want you to feel. That's not love, that's control. That makes them feel something valuable about themselves. Because they don't want to look in the mirror at what they're doing wrong. They just want to look at, why don't you feel this way towards me? Why aren't you giving me the validation that I need? Right? So it's actually more about them than about the love of their father. And if they love their father, why would they would be caring about their father, right? If they're so dying for the love of their dad, then why is it that later on in the surah, the father is crying, he's going blind, and they're yelling at him? They're yelling at him. This is love? You know? So it shows you that it's actually not love. It's some kind of a toxic, possessive, controlling disorder thing that they confuse with love. And that's one of the things we learn in this surah, is how sometimes pure emotions like love and noble relationships like children and parents, siblings, spouses, noble relationships can become extremely toxic when those emotions are not guided and they're not dealt with in a healthy way. With that, inshallah ta'ala, I'll conclude today's khutbah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatam al-nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina الصirاط المستقيم, صirاط الذين أنعمت عليهم, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Amen. قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا الله سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Amen. الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.